It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Today we're going to finish up Hebrews. We're going to get back into Numbers and enjoy looking at that, and then go on with the travel here a little bit. And so of the Israelites, to get them to the Promised Land, as I promised that I would. And so please go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read a couple of verses there in the start. So look to that area of Scripture. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And again, we're in the book of Hebrews, and we're at Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read, beginning reading at the 19th verse, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, we're going to end there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this study. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll just guide and lead us. It's a wonderful opportunity that you allow us to have to come into so many homes and cars and trucks and vehicles as people travel, and still be able to hear the Word of God and study the Word of God. And so please, dear Lord, today that you would just take this program and take the verses of Scripture that we've read and others that we're going to look at today, and just penetrate the hearts of all that are listening today, and particularly, especially mine, dear Lord. Each day, I love your Word. I love hearing from you through your Word. And so please today, just speak to all of our hearts. Touch those that are lost, those that do not know Jesus, do not know your Son as their Savior. Please today that they will come and just trust in you. It just come by faith and accept this free gift. Father, you've made it so simple, and we just need to come by faith. And so please that all those who are listening will rid themselves of their pride and come to you today. It just salvation is free. It just needs to be accepted. So please that that take place. And then, dear Lord, that we will grow closer to you, and that this work of sanctification that goes on for all of our life and will not be completed until we get into the next. And yet, Father, it's a work that's needed. And so please guide and lead us and help us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have been back in Leviticus chapter 16, and we've looked at that Day of Atonement, and that Day of Atonement is really what this is speaking about, or the Day of Atonement was speaking about what we're reading here in Hebrews, because in Leviticus it was a picture of something that was to come, as the high priest would go in through the holy place, on into the Holy of Holies. And we find now here at this 19th verse, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, we can go right to God the Father now because of the completed work of the Lord Jesus. The high priest had to do this on a daily basis, or on a yearly basis. Every year it had to be done again and again. And, you know, we've read the verses back in the 9th chapter and concerning and not having to, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has completed the work of salvation. And so And he did it 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. And so if it was done 2,000 years ago, then why do you think that he cannot forgive you for your sins that's to come? In other words, sins you have not, you haven't even committed yet. Because, you see, he died on the cross before I was ever born, before you were ever born. He looked down through time. He saw me. He knew I needed him. And he died for me and for all the world, that we can have our sins forgiven and get back into fellowship with our God. And so we have this beautiful picture here of how we can come now right to God the Father. Before, you see, we were banned. We could not, our sin kept us out. But now, because of Jesus, and if we just come by faith to the Lord Jesus, then we can come right into the presence of God the Father. You see, the only way that we can know the Son is that the Holy Spirit will convict our hearts of our sin, show us who we are, which is an ugly sight, and then that He introduces us to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that point in time, you need to, that's your will, you need to accept that. You need to accept that He has died for you. God gives you all the power, all the strength, everything that you need, but there's a will there, and you need to accept it. And so now you accept that, and you become a child of God. You're saved. You're born again. Well, now we go from not only the work of the Holy Spirit, but now we have the work of the Son. The Son, the Lord Jesus, not only saves us, but now He also introduces us and brings us to His Father. And the only way to know the Father is to know the Son. The Scripture is very clear about that. So many people talk about God this and God that, and they don't know Jesus. Well, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know the Son nor the Father. You have to come by faith to Him. And this work that it's talking about here in Hebrews chapter 10, the 19th verse and on, is exactly what that's talking about. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, as to say His flesh. That all took place on the cross. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and then we're going to go back, head on back to Numbers. But if you had not had any study in Exodus or this Leviticus chapter 16, would you have any idea what that's talking about? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. What is that? If you had not studied the Old Testament, you would not know that. And yet so many folks today are trying to get rid of the Old Testament, saying there's no need for it. All we need is the New Testament. It has everything we need. Look at the understanding you have of these verses of Scripture, and that's a small example of all that God has brought into the from the old to the new. And so please study both, enjoy both of them. And so I hope that you have enjoyed that. In Hebrews there, just that little look, and it sure was that. It was sure a short look. But I want to get back now to Numbers. We're going to go all the way back to the first chapter of Numbers, Numbers chapter 1. And so if you would go back with me to that, and I hope that you have the opportunity to do that, we're going to finally leave Sinai. You know, we have taken through the study of Genesis. We have had the birth of the nation of Israel. It started with Abraham, and then we've come through Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Jacob gave birth to 12, fathered 12 sons, and those 12 sons, that is the nation of Israel. There are 12 tribes. And so where the name Israel came from is very simple, because God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And so as we look and we know the promise of the Messiah, the promise of the kingdom to come is all given to Israel through the line Abraham, Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then his 12 sons. Well, we found them going down into Egypt, from the Canaan, from the Promised Land, when there was a famine. And we know that they stayed in the land of Egypt for almost 400 years. Some believe to be about 430 years. Some think that the 430 years or in that area includes from the time Abraham went to Egypt the first time. And so it may not be that many years, but it was many years that they were in Egypt. Most of those years, or the first several years, they were not in captivity. They had freedom. They were given land to farm. They had it was very comfortable down there. But then the scripture tells us that the Pharaoh knew not Joseph. In other words, the Pharaoh had died, and a new Pharaoh had come. Well, maybe Joseph would still be in memory of that. And then the next and the next, and finally it came to a place where no longer did they remember Joseph. Well, if you remember what Joseph did, the reason he was such a great man in the land of Egypt, Joseph's one of Jacob's or Israel's sons. He was sold off by his brothers, ended up in Egypt, and God used that, built him up into a very high position, second highest position in all the land of Egypt. And God showed him there was going to be a famine. And so for 7 years, he stored up grain. And then the next 7 years, all the world came to Egypt to buy grain. And there was plenty for everyone, including Joseph's family. That's how they got into Egypt. Well, we come through Egypt now. And we've been here all those years, and God said he would send a deliverer, and they decided that since the nation of Israel was growing and multiplying so rapidly, that they better do something about it. So in doing something about it, they put them into slavery. And, I mean, it was a brutal life for them, thinking that that would minimize the childbirth and slow the population up a little bit. Well, it didn't. It just kept multiplying. And finally, the day come that God was going to deliver Israel out of this bondage. And so he sent that man named Moses. And so Moses went in, and we know about the plagues and all those things. We know about the crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground, and we come to Sinai. Well, we got to Sinai, and that was a long stop because we were at Sinai for over a year. And so here in Numbers, and as you look at the Exodus and then the book of Leviticus, that is all staged. The book of Leviticus is all staged in one place. Contrary to Numbers, and it took place over just about 1 year's time. Now, in Numbers, that is a little bit different because now we're going to be on the road here, and this is going to last about 39 years. And so it's a little bit different than the others. Just to kind of help you see just a little bit here, the book of Genesis is about the creation and the fall. The book of Exodus may be different than you think, but it's about redemption. It's a beautiful book, and I really enjoyed that study. The book of Leviticus, which we just touched on the 16th chapter, the book of Leviticus speaks of worship and fellowship. Now, what do you think the book of Numbers? What would it general? And again, we're not going to study the book of Numbers. We're just going to take a look at several highlights through it. I hope that it just kind of gets your interest going, so you'll sit down and study the book of Numbers, because it is a neat book, looking at their travels through and all the things. And so, don't miss an opportunity to study it. Right now, we're not going to. We're going to use it as kind of almost like a survey, and then go. go on into Joshua and get them into the Promised Land. So that's what I had promised you that we'll do, and we will. And so, but Numbers is service and the walk. So we have Genesis, the creation and the fall. We have Exodus. We have redemption. In Leviticus, we have worship and fellowship. And in Numbers, we have service and the walk. Now, Numbers picks up where Exodus left off. We have this book of Leviticus in the middle, of course, and it took place at that time, but it's just a continual story. And if we would have jumped from Exodus right to Leviticus, right to Numbers here, you could see that one continues from the other. But we had so much in Leviticus concerning our worship and the fellowship that we need. We sure don't want to miss that in any way. Now, we're going to read now as we begin. There is a lot of things going on here, and so listen carefully as I read the first four verses of Scripture here, and then we're going to just kind of highlight some things from there. So we're to Numbers chapter 1, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers." What they're about to do, the book itself explains part of the book, and that is it's about numbers. And they're about to number this nation, number these people. And the number will be from the 20 years old and upward. And so they feel at that time that they would be old enough to be a soldier. If you'll notice in the past, they were not told to fight. God said, "I will deliver you." And now that they are out of Egypt and they are about to leave Sinai with the tabernacle, because the book of Exodus and Leviticus gives us all the information about the building of the tabernacle, its functions, what its purpose is in every way, all the way down to what the priests are to wear, how they're to carry the unit, the tabernacle, moving it from place to place. Everything has been taken care of, dedicated, it's ready to go. And that's kind of where we're at here. And so now God calls for a counting. They are at Sinai. They have not moved yet. They're still at the same place that they have been for the past year. And they're about to move. But God calls them to do something, and that's to count. And not only to count, but also they are going to find a representative, a very godly man from every tribe. And if you'll glance through these scriptures with me, and I probably will miss maybe some of them, but we find that in verse 5 of the tribe of Reuben, of Simeon, of Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, I'm down in verse 9, verse 10 is Joseph, and then 11 is Benjamin, Dan, Asher, Gad, Naphtali. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of the thousands in Israel. And so they had, you know, Reuben's dead, Simeon's dead. I mean, they died years and years ago. And so back in Egypt, the only promise was that they would bring Joseph's bones out, and they did. They followed with that. But now they have went about to into each tribe and have chosen one man that will be a spokesman, so to speak, or the one, the council, the one that will come before Moses and Aaron. And so they have been chosen now, and these are great men, godly men, and they have been chosen to represent the congregation. We find that we're going to number them here. And if you notice again the age, 20 years old and upward, remember that age because we will find that there's going to be a judgment when they, you'd think, walking each day with God, having Him present with the Shekinah glory cloud, watching Him in such a short time deliver them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, hear His voice from Mount Sinai, and see Moses come down, watch them build this beautiful building for worship to meet their God, that their God will come down and meet with them. You'd think all that would hold them so close that there would be no question that they would walk and listen so carefully to God. But we find very quickly that they do not. But remember that number, because there's going to be a division there of people that finally get to Canaan versus the ones that don't. And that's going to be the number right there, from 20 years old and upward. Now, we're going to count them. Note that that every individual, every servant of the Lord is numbered. He is known by his family. He has assigned a certain responsibility. And again, this area here will cover the next 39 years. And so now we come to the 19th verse. As the Lord commanded Moses, so He numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. And once again, we begin the counting. And in the 20th verse, we have Reuben. And I'm not going to read all the numbers, but to give you some idea, after counting the tribe of Reuben, we find in the 21st verse that there is 46,500 in that tribe. Verse 22 is Simeon, and in Simeon we find the number to be 59,300. And if you'll notice each time, I hope that you're able to read along here with me, you'll see that, like in verse 22, of the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their father, those that were numbered of them, according to the number of the names by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. I've already said that God fought all the battles. But now that they're leaving Sinai, it's time for them to start fighting the enemy. It's time for them to start fighting the enemy. And you know, they are in the middle of enemy territory. They're in the middle of an area that is very, very ungodly. And is going to turn against Israel, and more so than that, turn against God. Well, we are in the same situation. You know, God did not take us out of this world. He's going to take us, keep us away from evil, away from the enemy. But we need to be able to fight and be aware. You know, God speaks in His word very clearly concerning the armor of God. We need to put the whole armor of God on. Well, why do you put armor on? You put armor on because you're going to go to war. And the more that we study, and the more that you proclaim the gospel, the more that you tell people how to be saved, the more that old devil's going to fight you, and the greater the battle is. And we need to be prepared. And so I hope that you're prepared for battle. I hope that you know and understand that there is a war going on. And too often today, we just go and put our arms around the enemy and say, oh, everything, I'll compromise this, you compromise that, we'll be fine. That's not God's intention. And I'm afraid we see that in many churches today. Let me continue here as we look at the numbering. I'm not going to read any more of those numbers for you, but I just wanted to give you some idea. And then we're going to give you the total over here in verse 46. Verse 23 is Gad. Verse 26, you'll find Judah. In verse 28, Issachar. Verse 30, you find the tribe of Zebulun. In verse 32, Joseph. Now, we're going to find that Joseph's going to be, because Joseph was such a godly man, God gave him a double blessing. And again, Joseph's dead. I mean, his bones come along, but that's it. But what God did was took two of his children, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he counts each one of them as a full tribe. In other words, Joseph got twice of what anybody else got. That's because of Joseph's faithfulness and Joseph's service. And so you find Joseph, and then right below Joseph, we find namely the children of Ephraim. And then in verse 34, you find the children of Manasseh. Those are Joseph's two children, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, when you go through and name the tribes of Israel, you'll find that if you count Ephraim and Manasseh, then all of a sudden there is 13, but actually it's just Joseph, because Joseph is their father. So there's only 12, and the reason that each time you count them, you'll almost always come up with 12, it's because the Levites are not counted. They do not go to war. And so just something for you to remember. Verse 36, Benjamin. Verse 38, Dan. Verse 40, Asher. Verse 42, Naphtali. And then we come up to verse 45. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them, for the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel, but thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, over all the vessels thereof, and over all the things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. So we find that the numbering has taken place. We have looked at God chose to number, and again, it's 20 years old and upward. I have listed the 12 tribes, and the tribe of Judah, Joseph, again, has two, Manasseh and Ephraim, for you to remember. Everyone had their responsibility. In the first beginning of the first chapter there was named 12 individuals that were going to be kind of the heads of each family, and they're big enough now, they don't call them families, we call them tribes. And then we see at the very end that one wasn't counted, and that was Levi. His responsibility, their responsibility, is going to be to care for the tabernacle, for the tearing it down and putting it up, for the ministering within the tabernacle and the service. Because you see something that took place here at the very beginning that I did not speak of for a purpose. I wanted to wait till the close of the program. And it says, The Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation. Look at that. God no longer is at Mount Sinai. He has come over and he is in the Holy of Holies. We have looked at the Day of Atonement, the only day that anyone is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And yet God is present. He is right there. He is before the people. No longer is he someone that's just out there. He has come down to earth to meet with these people. And these people's purpose is to introduce him to all the world. They didn't do a very good job. We don't do a very good job doing the same. But my friend, that was their calling. We have just numbered them. We've looked at the total numbers. And now we're going to travel very quickly through this book as we see them traveling to the promised land. My dear friend, I hope you enjoyed the study today. What are you going to do about Jesus?